Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Downtown Disney is closing on Christmas. Cast members get a sneak peek of something new, Avengers Campus information.
2021 merchandise has arrived, a new Disney Paper Parks project. We talked to Ethan about working in Tomorrowland and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of December 16th, 2020. I'm Teresa Urban.
It is already December 16th.
I know.
And I'm Tag Bushman. We'd like to send a shout out and a big thank you to David A. for increasing his support of the show. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Without the community's support, we would not be able to produce the show and get through this difficult time. And the community does an amazing job of having all types of cool events. And coming up soon here is we have a Spirited Sweater Saturday, this Saturday. So Weekly Tears will get in their Christmas sweaters and we'll have like a little get together. And then after, we will have a Secret Santa hangout because we did a Secret Santa where people mailed some ornaments and stuff together. And then, of course, we have a couple movie nights going on. It's just a great place to get your Disney fix. So if you want to be part of the community and make yourself an official Weekly Tier, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, there is still a ton of uncertainty with everything going on right now, but one thing that is certain is that Concierge can help you plan your next Disney vacation. Even though we don't have an announced date of reopening, it is never too soon to start talking to the folks over at Concierge to get your trip planned. They are kept up to date on all the latest news and information on bookings, tickets, closures, and more. The team over at Concierge actually just got back from their own trip from Walt Disney World, so they are super knowledgeable on what's going on down there and how things look. Make sure you talk to the fans over at Concierge to get started. Head on over to concierge.com and don't forget to mention that DL Weekly sent you.
I also want to plug something for them real quick. If you guys are watching this week before Saturday the 19th, on Saturday the 19th, they are going to have a like community call where they're going to talk about their trip. Mm-hmm. And then they're also going to answer any questions that people have. So
yes,
it's a great thing to kind of get involved in if you guys are interested in that stuff. Now let's get to the news. On episode 160, we talked about the holiday hours for the Downtown Disney District. This week, it was announced that the shopping area will not be open for Christmas Day. Downtown Disney will be open from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Christmas Eve and 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on the day after Christmas.
You know, this is the first time that the parks or Disney, you know, the Disney Resort has not been open for Christmas for years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with all the crazy stuff going on this year, I do think that it is nice that they have made the decision to close so that the cast members can spend Christmas with their family and, you know, just have a day to themselves and a day to kind of reflect and celebrate. So I do think it's a nice gesture.
And spend some time with their family, which is what Christmas should be, right? Spend some time with some family.
Yeah.
Enjoy a well-deserved day off. Exactly.
Well, this week, cast members got to take part in an exciting preview for a new attraction coming to Disney California Adventures. The cast members were able to experience Web Slingers, a Spider-Man adventure in the new Avengers Campus area of the park. Cast members reported liking the new attraction and said it was similar to the Transformers attraction in Universal Studios. At Disneyland, the Toy Story Midway Mania attraction is the most similar attraction that we have.
The coolest thing about this, though, is unlike Midway Mania or Transformers, you're not shooting a physical gun. You basically put your arms out and the vehicle can sense that your arm has gone out and it looks like you are shooting the webs at people. That's pretty dang cool.
Yeah, I'm super curious about that. We did have some inside information we did hear about someone that did get to experience this firsthand. And that insider information also said that yes, it is like Toy Story Midway Mania, like we said, but agreed, also much, much more fun. So I'm bummed that it is similar to Midway Mania, but I'm happy to hear that, yes, it's similar, but it's not like exactly the same.
Yeah, because Midway Mania, I think, is a fun attraction. It's not one that I feel like I need to go on multiple times per visit. It does feel, Midway Mania feels long, but I've also heard that the Spider-Man attraction is not as long.
Yeah, that was the other thing, too. It felt like it was shorter.
But I feel like Spider-Man is going to continuously keep kind of moving.
That's true.
And where Midway Mania is like, move, sit at a spot for a while, move, sit at a spot for a while.
I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited that we don't have like physical things that we're having to shoot.
Yes. Because
my arm gets tired on Midway Mania.
That's true.
So I do think it's going to be a lot of fun to just be like, psh, psh, psh.
You even have the right hand movements. Look at that. So
practicing.
Apparently Spider-Man's your thing, because Star Wars, you're like, I don't know what that is, but Spider-Man, you got it down. Avengers Campus will include a web supply shop at the exit of the new Web Slingers attraction, which will sell the spider bots that are already for sale around Downtown Disney. The spider bots will be upgradable with new skills, personalities, and sounds. This is very similar to the droid building experience in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Near Guardians of the Galaxy side of the campus, the Avengers store and the Pym Test Kitchen will be located. The Avengers building, which includes the Quinjet on the roof, will one day be home to a new attraction, which is delayed indefinitely at this point. In front of the building is the hub of the land and includes a Doctor Strange garden where guests can meet and greet with Doctor Strange himself.
So our friends over at Mice Chat actually had some really great, like, concept photos that we had seen before, but it had been a while since we'd seen them. So it was really nice to kind of get that refresh and look at what these photos looked like again. I don't know. For me, it Marvel's not like, I enjoy Marvel movies, but it's not super my thing. I'm very much a classic Disney girl myself. But after seeing like how beautiful some parts of this area looks like it's going to be, I'm just excited about it all over again. There's also some concept art in here that I don't think I had seen before either. So
I haven't
seen
this one.
So that was pretty exciting as well.
Yeah. I am still excited to see if they bring up the, if they still have that Stunttronic show.
Yeah.
Which I feel like kind of has to be part of this. But again, with budget cuts and stuff, who knows? Are you kind of excited? What do you think of these spider bot things?
So I'm really excited to meet the spider bots in the attraction to kind of get an idea of, I don't know, the backstory of the bot.
Sure.
So I guess I'm indifferent. They look kind of cool. I'm sure they're super popular with kids and maybe adults too, but I can see a lot of younger kids really wanting a spider bot.
I am excited to see the outside, because we're not going to have attraction there for a while, of the Avengers building that eventually will house the new attraction sometime in the future, because this looks pretty dang cool.
It does.
And lit up at night and stuff looks really neat. Plus, the concept art that they have for this Pym's Test Kitchen also looks pretty neat. Like, I feel like it's going to be, unlike Galaxy's Edge, which kind of gave you that, you know, that, like, Tatooine, like, rough kind of, you know, Star Wars look. This is going to give you, like, a more refined, but in kind of, like, a fancy, high-tech way, which I'm kind of excited about.
Yes, I'm also excited for Doctor Strange's meet-and-greet gardens, too, because those just look, I don't know, they look super cool, and then how they have the concept art for what they're going to look like at night looks beautiful.
It says
as
that
well,
he's going to be casting spells and interacting with lights and items in the area, so that could be, so that's almost like your
like Pandora?
No, well, like Pandora a little bit, but also like the Boogie Boogie Bash, where they had everything all lit up,
because
this concept art kind of looks like a lot of that kind of stuff going on.
I'm excited for it. I think this area is what I'm the most excited to see in person.
I don't blame you.
Well, 2020 is almost over, so that means it's time for 2021 merchandise to arrive at the resort. This year, the design has moved away from the design style that we've seen the last few years and actually matches the design style which was used the 2020-2021 16-month calendars. The design centers around bright primary colors, including red, blue, yellow, white, and black. The standard fare of ears, magnets, keychains, apparel, and so much more are already available at the Disneyland Resort.
We've talked about this numerous times on the show about how the design of like the, well, you don't really like yearly merchandise.
Yeah.
I haven't liked the designs, but I will say looking at this, like, I don't mind this design actually.
No, this design is really fun and kind of, I don't know, modern, edgy. I don't really know how to really classify it, but I'm just glad that we kind of got away from the like I don't know. It feels like years past, it's been like a parade of characters.
Sure.
Which makes sense because, right, the dated merch is something that young and old are all going to be purchasing. So you kind of have to do something that's going to be exciting and fun for everyone. But this is just, I don't know, this is just fun. I do like...
What do you think of these ears?
I do like that the ears this year are unisex and they do not have a bow. Oh. I think this might be the first dated ears, like dated set of ears that do not have a bow.
They're also this kind of like faux leather, mm-hmm. and it looks like some of the things are like embossed. Yeah. I like that.
It looks nice and crisp and clean. We've got mm-hmm. D, the Disneyland D in 2021 on one ear, and then the other has the castle and Mickey. I think it's very fun. They look classy.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then, you know, they've got magnets and stuff. I don't know. I just, whoever designed it this year, whatever team designed this stuff this year, I'm a much bigger fan of this kind of look rather than in the past. They have, of course, some water globes, which I guess is what they call snow globes now. A toy truck, which I think they had a toy truck from previous years as well. They have a drawstring backpack, which looks pretty nice. Oh, that's nice. It's got like a little pocket on the inside. Is there any of these things that you want?
I don't know. Because the thing that I'm liking about this is that some of the stuff has the 2021 on it. Well, all of it has the 2021 on it. But some of it has it more subtle than others. And so I tend to stay away from dated merch just because that's me. But I do like having it, you know, I just don't like having it like the sweatshirt that you're looking at right now. It's kind of, the date is very large. I don't like that. If it's on there and it's smaller, I'm okay with it. So I like that there's options.
This youth hoodie reminds me of the 90s. Like, I feel like I could see this being worn like in the early 90s. Like, like the primary colors and stuff. Oh, that's interesting. On the back, it has the year, too. Yeah, so that one is definitely not for you. They have an adult one. For our annual pass holder listeners, Disney is offering 30% off on select holiday merchandise plus the annual pass holder discount. Combined, this offers up to 45% off your purchase of these items.
This is crazy, and I wish I had a teleporter because I want to get myself a set of those peppermint ears. I love them, and now they're like...
Peppermint ears?
Yes, is you that haven't on here? Seen them? Oh, they're so cute. It's like the holiday peppermint ears. I don't know. I just think it's so fun. I mean, obviously, I'm sure Disney had purchased the merch for the holiday season months and months in advance. So they probably purchased thinking that's the peppermint ears. They probably purchased all this thinking that all of the parks would be open and that, you know, that they'd be selling all sorts of this because so many people would be coming to visit them, all sorts of stuff. So I understand that there's probably an overabundance of holiday merch, but I still find it very exciting that we get a good discount on it. This week, Disney offered a shopping event to launch the new Legacy lightsaber hilts. The new hilts included Ahsoka Tano and Darth Tyrannus. There's also a Vader Force Guidance Kyber Crystal and some new limited edition pins. The Ahsoka Tano Legacy lightsaber includes two hilts for $199.99, and the Darth Tyrannus hilt is $129.99.
I was wondering about this because it technically is two lightsabers. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I wonder what the price is going to be, if it's going to be like double the price. So these are just the hilts. They don't include the blade or anything that. Mm-hmm. So the fact that for my experience was $199.99, but that came with the blade and the whole experience. This is two lightsabers, no blades. You'd have to buy that separately, or if you purchased one before, or if you just want to display them. Same thing with the Darth Tyrannus. It's $129. You can buy the blade. I think the blade is like $69 or something like that, and you can get that also in Downtown Disney. But the Darth Tyrannus one is cool. So those of you who don't know, Darth Tyrannus is the Sith name for Count Dooku, who was in the prequel trilogy. And his is cool because his is kind of bent, like an old type of like crazy thing. And so pretty neat. I'm interested with the guidance crystals, the Force guidance crystal, like from Vader, because the crystals that we got, of course, we talked about this on the podcast after D23 last year.
Over a year ago.
So we got all the whole selection. But one of the cool things you could do is I got James both of the holocrons, and you can put the crystals in the holocrons and they'll say different things. So my guess is this Vader one you put in the holocron and it has different sayings than the other red Kyber crystal one.
Sure.
What do you think of the pins? Are you a fan of any of these? I do like the Yoda best.
Yeah, I was going to say my favorite's Yoda best. they're fun. Nothing that I'm like super excited about. I do like the Star Wars one that is created out of different light. Like it's the Star Wars logo, but it's using different lightsabers.
Oh.
So I think that's kind of fun and different. And yeah, Yoda best. I just,
my happy place is a Death Star.
That seems
a little odd.
If you're for the dark side, then yes.
Another fun Disney paper parks project has been posted online. This time, it isn't an attraction-based project, but a do-it-yourself paper ornaments and themed sheets to make your own wrapping paper. The ornaments are meant to be cut out and built for the 12 Days of Ornaments. The designs feature Bengal Barbecue, Tom Sawyer Island, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Hyperspace Mountain, and more. I want to tell you, Teresa, you know what I did today while I was working on some other things? I finally went through the old Disney paper park
you
stuff.
You printed them all out?
No, I printed the castle and Main Street, and I didn't print. I don't want the parade floats. I just want the buildings. Mm-hmm. So I printed Sleeping Beauty Castle and Main Street's buildings on cardstock, and eventually I will color them. And then the instructions I printed out on regular paper, because there's no need to
right,
do that.
Yeah.
And I didn't print out any of the people or anything, or any of the additional things. Mm-hmm. Was there, I swear, I'm probably making this up, was there a train station paper park at some point? I could not find it. Or is that like the one thing they skipped?
I don't think we had that part of Main Street.
Okay. No. Okay.
I don't remember.
Yeah, because we probably didn't have like the town square, because mm-hmm. we didn't have the Great Moments of Mr. Link, the Opera House, mm-hmm. or the City mm-hmm. Hall. Mm-hmm. I really wanted the train station. I was so excited for that. And then I started looking at all the pieces that we had with for Sleeping Beauty Castle, and I was like, this is going to be interesting and tough. So
I think these, the ornaments that they just came out with, are super cute. Obviously,
are you going to make these?
We have missed the mark to make it for the 12 Days of Ornaments, since we're already...
There's a nice variety.
Like, less than 10 days away from Christmas.
There's a Jungle Cruise boat.
There's so many fun ones. I really like the idea of these. I do think I'm going to try printing them and creating them. I'm just not sure... I don't know. I'm just, they just look kind of delicate, so I'm a little afraid of them. But I am excited about them. They look very cool. I like the design, like the drawing design style that they have, that the Paper Park series does have. And these ornaments, of course, have that same feel to them, too. They're so much fun.
Did you see that in this, though, they had like the Bengal
yes,
barbecue,
yes.
Tiki Juice Bar, and Jungle Cruise boat. Mm-hmm. And then they had the paper that was themed off of Adventureland.
Yeah.
And then the same thing, Tom Sawyer Island and whatever. And then they go down to, I think there's a Frontierland mm-hmm. themed paper,
yep.
which this is actually really neat looking. Dumbo. Oh, is that Peter Pan? So anyway, and so they have like a cool, it's a small world.
Oh, there we go. Small world wrapping paper for our small world mm-hmm. fans out there.
What's the Tomorrowland one look like? I don't think I got this far down. Oh. Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited to build the ones from months ago at this point.
Months and months and months.
But I think
still,
it'll be fun.
Very fun. The Disney Dreamers Academy was presented in virtual format this year for 100 teens around the U.S. The Academy was a 12-week program that offered noted professionals and celebrities talking about topics including empowerment, overcoming obstacles, and pursuing goals. Disney Dreamers were awarded a career shadowing externship in their field of interest, including Imagineering, Walt Disney Studios, ABC, Pixar, and more. What a fantastic opportunity. I wish I would have maybe, and you know, anyone correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't know that this was a thing when I was a teen. Perhaps it wasn't a thing when I was a teen.
They said they've been doing it for a long time.
How incredible of an experience would this have been?
They've been doing it for 13 years.
Oh, yeah. So I would have been a teen still.
Just barely.
Just barely.
Just barely.
But I would have just made the cutoff.
I was wondering what this was, because I saw on social media a lot of like they have this like virtual space mm-hmm. that they were in and giving some like awards and stuff. And I didn't realize what it was. I guess I wasn't looking that closely. But they had quite a lot of celebrities come and do this. And the fact that they sent them the ring that they get.
They have get like a class ring for
that's
doing
so
this.
Awesome.
Just what a very cool opportunity.
I would be really excited about career shadowing externships. And these are done, like you said, at Imagineering, the studio, depending on what mm-hmm. you're interested in, mm-hmm. right? So this is very, very exciting. And if there's any teens out there that want to do this kind of thing, they do it all the time. You can follow the program on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We do have the links in the show notes. And I assume that there'll be a class of 2021 somewhere.
Of course, yeah.
So the other thing that's nice about this, that it was virtual, was I feel like there's a lot of these 100 kids around the U.S. Mm-hmm. It was more accessible to some of them because they weren't like, they didn't have to go anywhere. It was all just kind of there. As long as they had internet and a computer, which I feel like a lot of people have, so... Well, the annual Children's Hospital of Orange County, or Chalk Walk, to support the Chalk Foundation to help sick children and their families will be virtual next year. The walk is sponsored by Disney. The virtual event will take place on March 20th, 2021, with more details to come.
So this is something that's on like my Disney bucket list, even though it's not like the event is not by Disney. It is hosted by Disney. It's put on by Disney and presented and sponsored by Disney. So I'm going to count it on my Disney bucket list.
Sure.
But it just, what a great cause and what a fun thing this would be. So I'm really excited to be able to participate and check this out and see if it's something that you and I can participate and be virtual walkers out here in the Midwest. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
I think so too. I'm looking around because I feel like, is it Mouse Planet? I think Mouse Planet, yes. Mouse Planet, of all the places we read and get Disney news from, I feel like Mouse Planet is always talking about the Chalk Walk. So sure, I think that they're like a partial sponsor or something as well, because they have a whole team for the event. So I see stuff, them talking about stuff for the Chalk Walk all year long. So that's great that they are able to put this on and then people can participate virtually. It might be more successful. Again, like I said with the last story, people can have a greater accessibility because they don't have to be in Orange County. What a great thing to support and to be able to put on.
The next Walt Disney Company shareholders meeting has been scheduled for March 9th, 2021 at 10 a.m. Pacific. So mark your calendars.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be nearly as exciting as all the stuff that was announced last week, which we didn't talk about on the podcast with all of the Disney.
Yeah, so everything that was announced at Investor Day was very streaming specific. They actually didn't even mention the parks like at all. But there's all sorts of fun and new shows coming to Disney Plus. Plus, they talked about like movies and all sorts of fun and exciting things. Tons of Marvel, tons of Star Wars. Tons of stuff.
If you're a Marvel or Star Wars fan,
it was a wonderful
day. It's a great day for you. Yes. Now, also, one thing that I think I told you about the other day when we were talking to our interview guest was that there was a Verge article that somebody wrote like a year ago, and they said that you know, Disney didn't launch Disney Plus a year ago, like everybody kind of thinks they did. This announcement is what they meant Disney Plus to be. So they're doing theatrical releases, but at home. They're doing a ton of new content. So it's just crazy. And the fact that they're doing it for, if you subscribe standalone to Disney Plus, what's March, I think it goes up $1 to $7.99 or $8.99. So, I mean, that's still a great deal considering the fact that, like, you know, Netflix is what, $14 now, $13 a month, something like that. So, I think that this is very exciting that they're going to have all this stuff. I'm not a huge Marvel person, but I'm sure that the Marvel fans are just as excited as all the Star Wars fans. Mm-hmm. I'm also excited, hopefully, that they're going to bring more content that we got with Disney Plus, like the Imagineering story and a lot of those back catalog things, the things we've talked about previously, like the Disney Channel used to have a lot of those old Disney presentations and stuff from the 50s. If they could bring all that stuff, it was on a TV show segment of the Disney Channel called Vault Disney, where they would bring all this stuff from back in the day. I hope that they bring a lot of that stuff. And they have been as time has been going on. But more stuff like the Pixar. What was the Pixar one called? One day at Disney. They had the one that's kind of like One Day at Disney, but it's with Pixar people. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Imagineering story. So I hope they have more stuff like that. That should be really exciting. So yeah,
And back to the shareholders meeting coming up. It is going to be interesting because I do think this meeting is going to be unlike any shareholders meeting that we've had before. Mm-hmm. Just because at this point, it's very possible that unfortunately, Disneyland may have been closed for just about a year for this meeting. So it's going to be a very interesting meeting. I do think Disney Plus couldn't have launched at a better time. If I don't know if Iger had some sort of like magic
crystal ball
he was looking in or what was going on there. But thankfully, Disney Plus has been doing really great for the company when unfortunately the parks aren't able to be open. So I just think it's going to be an interesting call.
Inside Pixar was the name of that other show I wanted to mention. And that show, if you haven't watched it yet on Disney Plus, is amazing. Mm-hmm. They have they tell you basically they each episode focuses on one person at Pixar and they all do different things, kind of like One Day at Disney. And you kind of learn about them and how they've brought their experience to these different stories. And it's really a great show. I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did. I didn't think I wouldn't like it. I just didn't know what it was. So I always go in and kind of skeptical. But it's really good. Well, now it's time to take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James will try to stump us with some Disney trivia. He did tell me earlier, Teresa, if you want to feel better, that he thinks it'll be an easy week for us.
That's what we heard last week.
Well, what do you have for us this week, James? Are you going to be nice to us?
I mean, I like to say I'm going to be nice, but I guess the questions will tell us the truth, right?
Here you go. You heard it here, folks. He's going to maybe be nice to us.
All right. Question number one. Walt created the idea for Disneyland while sitting on a bench. Where was it at when he thought about Disneyland, and where is it now?
Well, the bench is currently in Disneyland in the Opera House. And
one of them. There's actually a couple because they don't know. One's also at the Walt Disney Family Museum.
Yes, you're right. That is true.
And it was in Griffith Park at the carousel.
Mm-hmm. All right. Question number two. How old was Walt when the park first opened?
Ooh. Oh, 54. He was born in 1901.
1901, yeah. You're right. I'm like, how did you do math that quickly? Oh, wait, 1901, 55.
I surprised James earlier because he was talking about his new desktop for his standing desk. And he said, oh, yeah, this. What did you say, James?
Well, my current desk is 4 feet long and my new one will be 6 feet long.
And I said, that's 50% more. And he goes, no. And I go, yes, it's 50% longer than your current desk because you take your current desk, you do half of it and you add it on. Bam. And he said, oh. You did math really well. I'm like, thank you.
It was very impressive.
Anyway, I'm terrible at math for those who don't know.
All right. Question number three. Sticking with the numbers, how tall is the large drop on Splash Mountain?
Oh, boy.
How are you measuring it? Feet?
Feet?
Ooh.
Not miles, if you were going to try to do that one.
No.
106.
I was going to say stories.
No, feet, please.
I'm going to say 106 feet. That's some random number that is in my head, so I'm just going with it. It may be nowhere near, but no idea.
100, what'd you say?
106.
I'm going to say 120.
And our last question. Sleeping Beauty's drawbridge has only been raised twice. When?
Opening day.
And the relaunch of the new Fantasyland in 1983.
Well, quick answers from them this week with some confidence. Did they do well enough? We'll find out after this week's discussion topic.
Elijah technicalityed us.
Yeah.
She said 50
because his birthday. 50
because his birthday's in December. The park opened in July.
Good catch, Elijah. Good catch.
And I think Stephanie's right with 52 feet now.
I think you are
now,
too. I wonder what 106 is. Like, maybe I just made that up.
I don't know.
Well, this week we have yet another former cast member on to talk with us. So welcome to the show, Ethan. We are so excited to talk to you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be on the show.
Well, we're going to start this off just like we start any other interview with our wonderful people. What is your Disney story? Tell us a little about how you fell in love with the brand, the parks, you know, kind of what got you into this.
So I guess my Disney story started at birth, really. I was born in Southern California.
Oh, sure.
My grandparents have a picture of me and my identical twin brother in a little stroller in front of the Mickey Flowers in front of the Main Street train station.
Yeah.
When we were like 3 months old.
Oh, wow.
So my Disney story started long, long time ago. And then I just kind of, I grew up watching the movies, going to the parks all the time. Every year for Christmas, my grandparents' Christmas present to us was an annual pass until I turned 18.
Ooh, and that's a great Christmas present.
Yeah, and we knew that was going to be our big Christmas present every year, so we knew we could always go to the park.
That's awesome.
And what so a great I gift. Just it was awesome. I gotta go. It kind of upsets people when I tell them how many times I've been to the parks.
Have you actually kept track?
I've estimated.
Sure, sure.
Just assuming going maybe once or twice a month growing up, I it's in the thousands.
That's crazy. That's amazing though. Good for you.
So after I graduated high school, I moved in with my dad in Southern California, and he said, you know, you have really two options. You can join the military, which is something I had always said that I wanted to do, or you can get a job. And so I decided I was going to follow in my family's footsteps and I was going to join the Navy. And so I joined the Navy. I did all the paperwork and they said, cool. You have to wait 10 months before you can go to boot camp.
Oh,
wow.
And so I told my dad that and he's like, okay, now you have to get a job because I can't pay for everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was putting in resumes at places like Target and, you know, Walmart. Mm-hmm. And my dad, we were sitting at dinner one night and he said, well, when you get your paychecks, what are you going to spend it on? And I said, well, you know, probably tickets to Disneyland. And he said, well, if you work there, don't you get in for free? Perfect. And I had never really done any research into it. And so I looked into it and yes, you do get in for free. So I was like, what better place to work? Mm-hmm. And so put in my application, did a interview over the phone and then did an actual interview, got hired. And then I did, everyone calls it Disney University. I remember it being called Disney Traditions.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I think that's what the course was called. It was like a 2 or 3 day thing. So we did the first day, which is, you know, this is what the company's all about, all that kind of stuff. And the second day was actually a walk through the park because, believe it or not, people get hired at Disneyland that have never set foot in the park before.
That is crazy to me.
Yeah.
I don't know how, you know, obviously Disneyland is magical and it's a great place to work, but I don't know how it could cross your mind to work there if you've never actually set foot in the park before.
Unless you just like have been hearing all these wonderful, great things and maybe your family just wasn't able to afford to do the trip and it's just always, you know,
maybe. I'm just trying to think of all the, because I've had a new number of jobs. Almost every job I've had, I've been used a service or been there before or whatever. Interesting. I guess there's all different types of people, right?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, there were a few people in my traditions class that had never been in the park before. Wow. And I obviously had been in the park a lot. and so when they were doing the park walkthrough and explaining everything and the history behind everything and the writing on the windows and who they all represent, I didn't really learn anything new from that park walkthrough.
Sure.
You're like, I'm going to go ride some attractions, and what time do I have to be back? I already know all this stuff.
Well, so that was actually what happened. So what happened next was once we were done with the park walkthrough, they took us into basically like an auditorium, and they sat us all down and said, congratulations, you've graduated Disney Traditions, you're all cast members. And then the Fab Five came out, and they gave us our name tags and our ID badges.
Oh, that's cool.
So I actually got my name tag and ID badge handed to me by Mickey Mouse, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so neat.
Dang, what a welcome.
And it was like 1 p.m, I think. So I walked up to one of the other cast members and I said, hey, you know, I know we just got hired on. My first shift is not for like a week and a half, but when does the free entrance start? And he said, oh, you have your ID badge. It starts right now.
Perfect.
So my brother and I actually got hired together.
Oh.
And so we ran back to our car, put away some of our stuff and ran to the park and we stayed until close.
That's awesome.
I worked there for 9.5 months before I ended up going to boot camp and being in the Navy.
Wow. How fun.
That's kind of my Disney story. And then as long as I've been in the Navy, I've told myself that at least once a year I will make it back to the park. And for the last 8 years or 7 years, I've still done that. At least once a year.
That's awesome.
That's great that you're able to do that, because I know my brother is in, well, was, he retired out of the Air Force, but he was in the Air Force for 20 something years. And sometimes it can be very difficult to get back places or take time off or whatever. Just depends on what's going on in the world the time, too. So when you go to Disneyland, so if you go like now, right? So if you go for a trip back or one of those yearly trips, you know, being in the Navy, that kind of thing, on your first day of a visit, which way do you go? Do you go left towards Adventureland? Do you go straight through the castle to Fantasyland? Do you go right towards Tomorrowland? Where do you go?
So up until Galaxy's Edge, it has always been straight down Main Street and straight to Pirates.
Okay.
That has, for my entire life, that was my plan, was straight to Pirates. Now that Galaxy's Edge is open, now I've only been to the park with Galaxy's Edge open once, but I feel like that's where I would go first now. If the boarding pass thing is still going on, that's probably where I would head first.
So are you a big Star Wars fan?
I am a huge Star Wars fan. Huge.
We seem to have quite a few people in our community that are very big Star Wars fans.
Yes, we do.
It's a great time to be, Marvel or Star Wars. It seems like both
Honestly,
are
becoming... Honestly, I was a little overwhelmed. I'm like, there's more? Like, it just like, you know, right?
I didn't know they could come up with so much.
Yeah, it seems like a ton.
Well, when you have entire universes that you can draw from.
I know, but still.
That's pretty cool.
Wow.
I mean, they're betting big on Disney Plus. I saw, was it Variety? The Verge. Somebody from The Verge that I follow on Twitter posted that she wrote like a year ago that what we're getting for Disney Plus is not actually Disney Plus. It's kind of just like a test run of Disney Plus. The stuff they announced this week is what they mean for Disney Plus, that movies are coming there and all of these Star Wars things and all this Marvel stuff and all this other stuff, that this is what they is their grand reveal of Disney Plus, which
that
is good.
Sense.
They got all the crazy bugs worked out, right? With all the like normal stuff. Mm-hmm. Now they can put out, and then they kind of tested the waters with Mandalorian, which has been extremely successful.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting.
It's a very good time to have a Disney Plus subscription. I'll say that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm not even mad that they raised the price they're raising the price by $1 a month. I'm not even mad. Like $1 a month, that's still $7.99 a month. That's not bad.
I was going to say I locked in for the 3 year thing when we were at D23, so I don't even remember.
We got a really good deal. I think we're paying like $3 and something a month. So
we did. Oh. It's still worth it though.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's
so
definitely worth it.
So, Ethan, since it sounds like you always beeline to Pirates, does that happen to be your favorite attraction, or what is your favorite attraction?
Traditionally speaking, my favorite attraction is and always will be Pirates.
Okay, yeah.
It's just been my favorite attraction my whole life, but you have both ridden Rise of the Resistance, correct?
Yes.
That is now my new favorite ride.
I can't be mad at that. it's a whole different level.
It's a whole new level. It's so immersive, and just queuing in the ride with the cast members and the First Order, it's not so much a ride as it is an experience.
That's true. That's very true. One of the first things I said to Tag when we got off it during our Walt Disney World trip was I just felt like I missed so much, and I just wanted to like get back in line and go again, because I was like, wow, what just happened?
It's definitely got repeatability for sure. We have another question for you at the end, but for now, let's get to your time as a cast member. So when you kind of went over getting hired, when you got hired on, did you choose to go where you ended up being put, or how did that come about? Did you want to do something different? Did you want to do something with attractions, or did you want to do something, you know, with parades or whatever, what all these other different things you could do? Or did you not get a choice and this is kind of where they threw you?
So when they asked what I wanted to do, there were positions open for attractions. And I think specifically they were hiring for Indy.
Oh.
And so I actually originally interviewed for Indy.
Mm-hmm.
But when they looked at my resume, which Disney was my first job, so
sure,
I had
no
experience, they said that I didn't really have any experience with dealing with guests, with the public, and I didn't have any experience operating any rides or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were they only had a few positions, and so they really needed people that had experience, and so they offered food service worker, which I was a little bummed out about, but it's a job at Disney, so how are you going to say no?
Better than nothing, right?
That's true.
I would have been bummed if I were you, because one of my top attractions that, if I was going to work attractions, would be Indy. Although I heard that when you work there, it's very loud. Like some cast members, if you're in the loading area, it can be very loud all day with all the noise.
Yeah.
And it is a little loud in there, but I don't think I would care. I'd be inside the temple.
I would be okay with it. It was loud in the kitchen too, so you know, I feel like I would get used to that.
I think that's really cool that even though this was your first job and that you didn't have any, you know, like previous experience, that Disney still, you know, hired you on. I think I can't think of a like more perfect first job. Like how much, you know, at that time of your life and that age, how like, I just think it'd be like exit. I think working at Disneyland would be a blast no matter what. But I think, you know, right out of high school, waiting to go into the Navy. What a fun time to like be at the parks and making money to be at the parks.
Exactly. And admittedly, while I was there, I probably didn't work the most shift because it was a part time job.
Right.
Sure. But my brother, like I said, also got hired with me, and he had, you know, the same amount of shifts, but our shifts were normally opposite of each other. So, you know, I would work the morning and he would work the evening or vice versa. And now, he did not have his driver's license. And so I had to drive him. And, you know, if he needs a 4-hour shift and I don't have work that day, I'm not going to drive home. I get in for free.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, no wonder you had thousands of visits under your belt. The other thing is, you said you had is it an identical twin brother?
Identical twin, yes.
So did you ever work each other's shifts?
No, we never did that just because we worked at different restaurants. I worked at the Tomorrowland Terrace, and he worked at, I believe it's the Paradise Garden Grill in California Adventure.
Oh, not even the same park.
Yeah.
No, not even the same park. And I don't know if they did that on purpose or if that's just where the positions were open.
We've had twins before. We're not going to have any of this shenanigans going on.
I did, when he was on shift, I did go visit his restaurant a few times. And there was one time I walked up to the counter and the manager saw me and looked at me and said, "Hey, why aren't you, you're on, what are you doing?" And then my brother walked up. And the manager looked at my brother and then looked at me and then looked at him and then looked at me, shook their head and was like, "I don't know what's going on." And they walked away.
That's amazing. I feel like if I was a twin, I would mess with people all the time. There's all those things you hear, right? The stories, like, you know, you hear like all the, you know, people that, you know, you have girlfriends or whatever, and you're like, "Well, we'll switch and see if they realize it," you know, weird things like that. And so, you know, you hear, you know, and you know, the twin telekinesis thing and all that. So I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to be a twin and be able to screw with people, especially if you don't tell people you have a twin. Do you know what, like in that situation, the manager didn't apparently know. Like,
yeah, none of our coworkers knew. That's
funny.
And he would do the same thing. He would like come to my restaurant and mess with the manager. So we had a little bit of fun with it, but we didn't want to get in trouble. We were working for Disney and we had a good thing. So
Yeah,
that's very true. So Ethan, tell us, what was a day like working at the Tomorrowland Terrace?
We would show up and we would go to costuming and we would get our costumes, which was just a chef pants, a chef shirt, and a Tomorrowland Terrace hat. We got issued like fancy grease proof shoes when we first got there. We would get changed into our costumes. We would go and I would go through, I could either go backstage and then go quickly through the park to the restaurant. The door to backstage was right by the big rocket by the pizzeria. And if it was really crowded or if it was raining or something like that, we would go through the underground tunnel underneath and then go up into the restaurant. And
That's
cool. So we clock into the restaurant there and then kind of just get on the food line and start making the food.
Awesome.
And then, I was going to say, it's not very far coming from the rocket.
Not far, but after a few times of getting stopped by guests and you know, if a guest asks you a question, you can't just say I'm busy and walk away.
Right,
you have to,
right.
You know, you have to stand there and answer their question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So after that happening a few times and me admittedly being late to work a few times because of that, I just started going through the tunnel.
Sure.
Unless it was a slow day.
That makes sense. Cause right. You mentioned that you actually didn't clock in until you got to the restaurant. So if you were being stopped by guests, that was you helping guests, while not on the clock. So yeah, I can see how that could have put a hiccup in getting to where you needed to be on time and punching in so that you were getting paid.
That's still kind of messed up, I feel like you should be able to clock in like at costuming. You know what I mean?
I don't, unless they think of it kind of like, right? I don't clock in when I start getting ready for work at home.
That's true.
Know.
But I also remember, so Teresa and I for a period of time actually worked at a Walmart together. And we were told the same thing, that like if somebody stopped you, you were mm-hmm. supposed to help them. Mm-hmm. And then if it was like a break or something, you're supposed to like take that much longer, which became weird. But anyway, so when you went to costuming or whatever, did you basically just go like out the back of the costume building and like kind of down? It looks like I'm looking at a satellite view right now, kind of like down a little roadway and then kind of out on the stage there.
Yeah, we would go down a little roadway and there was like a little coffee cart where I normally got some coffee to
Perfect.
Drink on the way. And then it was pretty much behind Space Mountain, behind the pizzeria.
Yeah.
We had our little break room, which was essentially just a trailer with a couple vending machines in it. And then you could either go out the door or just right next to the door were stairs down to the tunnel that goes to the restaurant.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was wondering where the tunnel, because I know that Tomorrowland is one of those weird places where there is a tunnel, because obviously there's the whole section where the performers get for the stage that rises up out of the ground mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the tunnel is actually, it goes underneath Innoventions. It goes underneath Innoventions. And so if that can kind of give you an idea of where the tunnel actually
Sure.
is.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That'd be one of those... That's a place I want to go backstage is the tunnels, because they also had that section from when the rocket rods were there, because there was a tunnel that went from under what is now Buzz Lightyear to the loading platform of rocket rods.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And that was like a whole thing.
I think I did a little too much backstage exploring while I worked there. actually got in trouble a few times because of that.
Uh-oh. So what kind of things did you explore?
Well, so the first time it happened, I wasn't in costume. I just had a day off and my brother was working. And I thought, I want to know what the rest of backstage looks like. So I started exploring mm-hmm. and it probably took about an hour or so before someone stopped me and said, hey, what are you doing? Because I wasn't in costume. I was just in, you know, like jeans
and
a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You just look like a guest wandering around backstage.
Exactly. And I had my ID badge on me so that, you know, if they got close enough, they could see that, you know, I was a cast member. But
mm-hmm.
apparently you're not supposed to just walk around backstage just to walk around.
Oh, dang.
I would totally do that. In fact, you know what I would do? I'd show up, I'd get in a costume and go wander around backstage. Of course, they'd probably be like, how come you're wearing a Tomorrowland food service uniform over in by Splash Mountain?
Exactly. And that was actually one of the things we learned in tradition, is that when you're in costume, you stay in your land, because that's the whole idea of Disney with the berm and everything mm-hmm. is that you don't want to look like you're out of place.
Yeah.
Yep. That makes total sense. So what types of, so after you got to the restaurant and clocked in, types of things did you do like on a day-to-day basis? Like what were, it sounds like you were maybe kind of back a house and like in the kitchens.
Yeah. So I was in the kitchen. There was a little window where you could see out to the front of the restaurant, which was mm-hmm. really cool, because normally where I was working, I could see the stage show that went on.
Oh, fun.
And so
yeah.
I saw the Star Wars show more times than I can count. but I would, you know, you would flip burgers, you would cook fries. Sometimes you'd be on the assembly line. So you would be assembling the thing, you know, bun, patty, cheese.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't that many things on the menu while I was there. We had like a hamburger, a cheeseburger, a veggie burger, and a bacon cheeseburger and fries. And that was about it.
Well, that's pretty simple then.
The assembly line job was pretty easy. You just look at the ticket and make that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much all we did all shift was assembling the food. Like I said, it wasn't the most glamorous job.
Did you get like really good at it? Could you like throw together a burger in like 5 seconds or something?
It took me about a month or so, but I got really, really fast. It just because you know, your brain starts to go on autopilot after a while, mm-hmm. and you just kind of throw everything together. And it just kind of became second nature.
Yeah. I know that the times I've been there, I don't know. We didn't go the last time, I don't think. I don't think we ate there. But
no, I don't think so.
I was saying before, like, we used to, when I was a kid and my mom would get, like, the vacation packages and you get an early entry morning, that was one of the places that did breakfast. And so we went there. That was, like, one of the first stops, at least one of our trip, you know, one of our days of our trip every time. And I tell you, they do a lot of volume through there. Cause,
yes, they do.
I mean, there's a lot of registers. It looks, from the outside anyway, like there's quite a big kitchen area where they do prep stuff. Is that fairly accurate?
Yeah, the kitchen is very large, and it's the kitchen little spaces themselves are kind of small, but there's like three or four identical stations.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's the fry or the griddle, the fryer, and then the assembly line.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like three or four of them.
Oh, wow. So they can
we
kind of out.
Oh, yes. Breakfast was actually one of the harder things to do because there was a lot more that goes into it than, you know, putting a cheeseburger together. There were, you know, there was French toast, there was pancakes, there was a whole bunch of different kinds of things. And so breakfast was actually a little harder for us to do.
Right.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you have more variety mm-hmm. of things.
Exactly.
The other thing with the Tomorrowland Terrace slash now Galactic Grill or slash now not open, is the certain like that is a there's a huge surface area of ordering stations.
Yes.
There's probably like 20 plus places you can order your
it
food.
Feels
it's
like,
huge,
with
yeah.
The windows, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were packed all the time.
Now,
never a dull moment then, huh? It's always on your toes.
We
did say that it seemed like the kitchen was big, but that area where the registers are to like the little back counter is not very big at all.
No.
I feel like you can fit barely two people next to each other kind of going through there.
No, everyone's really close together and there's not a lot of space behind you. And so a lot of the times when the people would be like filling up the drinks or everything, they'd have to squeeze by people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fairly small area, but that was how we were able to crank out so much food.
So this might take away some food magic for some, but so how much was actually already prepared for you versus how much did you have to do yourself when it came to these things? So like, I don't know, pancakes, for example, was the batter like pre-done? Were the pancakes already made and you just had to reheat them? Like what did that look like?
Was this Riverbell Terrace, you see them making it fresh in front of you, or was this McDonald's that they throw it in a warmer?
So in terms of breakfast, the batter for the pancakes was pre-made batter, but we actually made the pancakes.
Okay, sure. So that's nice. You cut some time out of having to mix up the batter.
The French toast was, we made that. I don't know the dip that you put French toast in. I don't know if that was pre-made or not. But then for like lunch, the only thing that was not already made was the burgers, which were just shaped. It wasn't like ground beef that you had to shape yourself. The burgers mm-hmm. were pre-shaped, but everything else was fresh.
Nice. That's actually much better than I thought it was going to be. I'm very pleasantly surprised by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because with how quickly you guys have to pump that stuff out and how much you're making, it's just like, well, how can you even like sit there and like make that many pancakes or make that many, you know,
anything.
Shape that many patties or, you know, whatever. That's crazy. That's good, though.
Well, we got really good at it.
Yeah, right.
in your guesstimation, and you probably don't have, I mean, there's no way to know an accurate number, but how many in a shift, how many burgers do you think you would like go out of the Tomorrowland Terrace?
On a busy day, I feel like when I was on assembly line, I probably made, on a busy day, 4 or 5 a minute.
Wow.
And if a normal shift was 8 hours with a 30-minute lunch and 2 15-minute breaks. I don't feel like doing the math, but it was a lot.
That's well, and the crazy thing, right? Remember, he said there were 3 stations, so yeah. That's just him on one yeah. station. There's 2 others. Wow.
Well, think about it. I mean, yeah. You're feeding
I know
thousands of people
still,
probably,
but there's but think of how many other restaurant options there are too. You know, so it's.
I
wow.
feel like the Twirl and Terrace was really popular though because almost everybody likes burgers.
That's true.
So, and the fact that like you could, and there were some options for burgers, which was nice there. I also feel like Red Rocket's Pizza Port was always busy because people also always mm-hmm. like pizza.
That's true.
You know, other places on the west side of the park, you don't really have a good place to get burgers, really. You don't really have a place to get pizza. Like that stuff's mostly in Tomorrowland. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you can get a burger, or you used to be able to get a burger, I think, well, Hungry Bear and stuff. Yeah. But that was it on that side. So really, if you want a burger, there's only a couple places in the park to get it.
Mm-hmm. So what would you think, Ethan, the most like popular items were? Like, was a cheeseburger better? Like, I don't know. Like, for breakfast, was it pancakes? Was it the French toast? What do you
think? Did you guys do Mickey waffles?
We did do Mickey waffles. Ooh, they were not the big Mickey waffles. They were like the little ones.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. I actually think the French toast was probably the most popular breakfast one because it was we made them in the French toast sticks.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so it was easy to just kind of pick up and eat on the go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For lunch and dinner, bacon cheeseburger.
Bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah. All day long.
I love me some bacon cheeseburger. I would definitely do that. You know, the only thing the thing I like more than that is like a barbecue bacon cheeseburger where they do barbecue sauce on it.
Mm. There you go.
Now you're making me. Well, I don't
it
even
was,
like
it. It was a barbecue bacon cheeseburger.
Well, there you go.
We put
that's
go.
Why.
So.
That's why. That's crazy.
And it has an onion ring on it, which is my favorite thing on a barbecue bacon cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You're making me see one of the things I really miss. Is when I lived in California, we don't have them in the Midwest. They had a Carl's Jr. Now we have Hardee's, but the menus are not the same. I used to So I used to get a Western bacon cheeseburger, and I loved those. And so here's the secret with this. So they're owned by the same company. So and they even have the same logo, Hardee's, Carl's Jr. They both have the little yellow star. However, the regular menu items at Carl's Jr. are the special menu items on Hardee's and vice versa. So when they have specials, because sometimes Hardee will have the Western bacon cheeseburger, mm-hmm. but it's like limited time special.
Interesting.
And then sometimes Carl's Jr. will have whatever Hardee's does. Mm-hmm. You know, what I don't even know what they do because I don't really. We only have one Hardee's in our area and it's not that great. So I don't go.
Okay.
But yeah, Western bacon cheeseburger. Have you ever had a Western bacon cheeseburger?
I have not.
They're basically what he's describing. They have like an onion ring and barbecue sauce, and it's just wonderful.
I've had bacon. Stuff like that like at a restaurant, but not like specifically from either Hardee's or Carl's.
There's something about the fast food level of it. You know that kind of greasy terribleness at fast food that like adds to it. Like one of my
if you're gonna get greasy terrible, you gotta get really greasy terrible.
Yeah. Well, and Carl's Jr.'s slogan was if it doesn't get all over your face all over the place, it doesn't belong in your face. One of the reasons I remember is because I liked that. And also my brother, my oldest brother, his job before he went in the military was at Carl's Jr.
Gotcha.
So I remember being a young kid and walking up to the drive thru late at night and getting food from him.
Too funny.
So here's a question that I like to ask because I feel like this is where you can get some cool stuff. So what is something about working in food service at Disney that is something that maybe people would find interesting or that they wouldn't like you wouldn't think about or that you think is neat or different than maybe somewhere else?
Well, so for where I worked specifically in the Tomorrowland Terrace, like I said before, it was where the Star Wars show was.
Mm-hmm.
So every once in a while, the cast members who were doing the show would come back into the kitchen in the restaurant. There was like a little hallway with pillars so that guests could not see that part of the kitchen.
Oh.
And yeah. So every once in a while, the people from the Star Wars show would come in because they were starving.
Mm-hmm.
And they would swipe their – we had a little cash register in the back that they could swipe their cards with.
Oh.
And they would order food. And so one day when I went to go on break, I actually walked back and the guy who played Darth Maul was there, and he had the shoes, he had the pants, he had the full head of makeup, but he was just wearing a white t-shirt, and he was sitting there eating French fries.
Yeah.
And I saw him, and he said...
love to see Darth Maul eating French fries.
That's so funny. Like, hey, Darth Maul, what do you think of the French fries?
He liked them. It was temporarily horrifying because I just saw him like, oh, it's Darth Maul.
Right, yeah.
And then I realized, like, oh, it's just the guy.
You know, that seems like something that would happen at Disney, right? Like you know, any other job, you'd never just walk in and see some dude sitting there as Darth Maul.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, only at Disney would you be able to walk in the back room and run into one of your favorite characters. How cool.
Oh, yeah. Sadly, that was really the most magic that came from the job. It was essentially working fast food. The magic came from, you know, everything I got to experience backstage and the cast member events and everything like that. But the job itself is really just like working in fast food.
So with the little, was there an actual like break room back there behind the kitchen?
Behind the kitchen? No, you had to go backstage behind Innovention.
Oh, okay.
Into the little trailer, and you know that there were like a few TVs that would play like Disney movies on a loop, and a couple vending machines.
So if you were a cast member and you really were craving that bacon cheeseburger we were talking about earlier, you had to probably go through the tunnel, pop up, go in the back, get it, and then go back to wherever your break room was. Is that how that worked?
So actually, you could get it from the restaurant. You could pay at the little cash register and then take it through the tunnel and then have it in the break room.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had a lunch, which was normally 30 to 45 minutes,
mm-hmm.
You could walk down backstage to behind Main Street. I think mm-hmm. it was around behind the hat shop. And there was actually a little restaurant there just for cast members. And they had the most popular food items of all the restaurants around the park.
That's
in between, right? The cast member kit. Yes.
Yeah. Cool. See, now I guess I always assumed the in between just had stuff that you could get from like maybe Main Street restaurants, and that was it. I didn't realize. That's cool that you could get what, you know, the most popular things from around the park, so you didn't have to hike around to go get, I don't know, your beignets or whatever.
Right.
Exactly. They had everything there.
Oh.
And it was really cool because that was also along the parade route,
mm-hmm.
Where the parades go backstage. Yeah. And so if your lunch was near the end of a parade, you could sit there eating your lunch and watch all the parade float go back into the loop.
Oh, how fun.
Now, I have a question for you. So I'm looking at the satellite view again. I love when I talk to people, I like look at the satellite view of the park because I like to try to envision what you guys are talking about. And so if you had a lunch, would you have to go back through by where the rocket is and down and back basically around Space Mountain to the in-between? Or could you go down like the People Mover track and then go backstage by like Star Tours?
I only ever went back. I think I went the Star Tours route once.
Okay.
And then so you could wear your Tomorrowland hat. It was like a baseball hat.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you didn't get one from costuming, they just had the little paper hats, and the chef costume was not area of the park specific.
Sure.
Okay.
So if you didn't have the Tomorrowland hat, you could have worked anywhere. So if you wanted to walk all the way down Main Street, all the way through Tomorrowland, back to the restaurant, you could. I did that one time, and I was about 30 minutes late from my break. Because I got stopped like 4 or 5 times.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got into the habit of always carrying like 4 or 5 park maps in my back pocket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just because there were so many times when a guest would, you know, they'd walk up to you and say, hey, where is this? Hey, I don't have a map. And you just pull a map out of your back pocket. And
yeah.
They almost feel like it's magic. Like, oh, just for me? and so I always carried park maps because if I ever got stopped, I could hand them a park map and point to it on the map. That way,
awesome.
I don't have to deal with them saying, you know, well, can you take me there? I was walking from the break room back to the restaurant and someone asked me where Splash Mountain was. And I explained it to them. They said, can you take me there?
Oh yeah, that's quite a ways out of where you needed to be going.
I never expect a cast member to take me somewhere.
Well, but I mean, you never know, right? Think about it. If it's your first visit and you've never been there and you're trying to like show your family around and you're feeling the stress and you're like, I'm sorry, where? It's kind of like when you're at a store and they explain where, I don't know, the Post-its are.
Sure.
And you're like, I'm sorry, can you maybe just like, sometimes show it's easier me. For yeah. someone just to take you there, but right?
Yeah, that's
I'm
in
sure
a store. That's not in a theme park.
This person may have not have had any concept sure. how far away Splash Mountain was from where they were standing.
I would have been like, okay, you see the people mover, you see this track here? You go down, you follow that till they get to the middle, walk straight through, and then once you get to the water, you'll see it over there.
Yeah, bam, I don't know, done. Man. I just can't even wrap my head around being a new person in the park. And trying to like figure out where, you know, that's a lot.
Well, you got to do the good Disney guest service too. You know, I get it.
So the most confusing ones. Ones were when people asked where certain attractions were that were not Disney attractions. I had people ask me about attractions that were at Six Flags.
Oh, right, not very far. Yeah. Yep.
You know what I think would be even more fun is guests that ask questions like they don't know the name and they're trying to like describe it to you.
Describe the Disney.
And you're like, well, there's like six things that kind of match that description. Could you be a little more specific?
The one with water.
Yeah. It's a water ride.
I did get asked that.
Where's the water ride?
Oh.
Well, do you mean Splash Mountain? Do you mean Pirates of the Caribbean? The Jungle Cruise? The water ride. I want to go on the water ride.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
It's a Small World. The subs. The subs. Like, geez.
Storybook Canal.
Oh, yeah. How can we? Jungle Cruise? Did we say the Jungle Cruise already? Yeah. Jeez.
There's a lot of them.
And then maybe they're in the wrong park. Maybe they meant Grizzly River Run. Like, who knows?
So, Ethan, what were some of the fun things, like some fun cast member perks? So we've already heard about how you were able to go to the park and like visit for free with your badge, which is pretty darn awesome. But were there any other fun perks that you got to take advantage of during your time?
While I was there, cast members get 20% off pretty much everything in the park. And during holiday season, that normally jumps up to around 40%.
Oh, wow.
So quite a nice little discount, which, you know, I was only working part time, so I wasn't making that much money, but the discount kind of made up for it.
Yeah. Wow.
Every cast member that works there gets also a blue card. I don't remember exactly what it's called, but with the blue card, 16 times a year, you can bring in three other guests for free.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have heard about that. How
it's like the
cast members can like sign.
It's like the main gate pass or something, I think it's called.
Yes. And so I got hired in November and I thought it was a 365 day thing. And they said, no, it restarts in December.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I wasn't working that many shifts at the time. So I was calling up all of my friends like, hey, do you want to go to Disneyland? And they're like, I can't afford that. No, I got it. Just show up. And so I think I used all 16 in a month and a half.
I mean, I don't blame you.
Yeah. Good for you.
So you had like a normal discount on like food and stuff when you were a cast member as well?
I believe the discount applied to everything. And then also, I don't know if other cast members, former cast members have mentioned this before, but there's also a warehouse. I don't think this is a secret. There's a warehouse that you can go where they have all the stuff that they can't sell at the parks anymore. You know, like this year, for instance, they wouldn't be able to sell any 2019 shirts. And so they have all the 2019 shirts there for like $5.
That's nice.
And so I got most of my Disney merchandise from the warehouse.
Yeah.
Because why pay $20 in the park when you can pay $5 at the warehouse?
Definitely.
I also feel like there's quite a few people who love Disney that they might as well just sign their paycheck over to Disney because it's like they're just going to buy it. We've had other cast members. This always sticks out in my mind. Do you even remember who it was that said that it was terrible being a cast member because see cast members or guests walk by and you're like, where did you get that?
That was a cast member we're talking to at Walt Disney World.
Oh, yeah. It was like the worst because you see people.
Yep.
You see guests wearing things you've never even seen before, and you're like, I need that.
Yeah, my paycheck went to my cell phone bill, my gas, and then back to Disney.
And then back to Disney.
And your poor dad, who's like, you need to get a job. I can't afford anything. And, oops.
Well, it wasn't that he couldn't afford anything. It was just like, I'm not going to buy you all this stuff. Like, you're 18 years old. You need to take care of yourself.
Right.
And so I got a job at Disney and then blew all my money.
No more allowance, basically.
Yeah.
So did you get to take part in any, like, it sounds like you were there over the holidays. Did you get to do any, like, cast member parties or anything, any special cast member events?
I was actually working during the cast member Christmas party.
Oh.
The year I was there, I think there was only one that I was aware of. So I was actually working during that one. But to compensate for that, after the park closed, so working in restaurants, when the park closes, you're not really done for maybe another hour and a half.
Sure.
Because we don't just like shut off the fryers and go home. We clean everything every night,
mm-hmm.
change the oil every day. And so it takes us about an hour and a half to shut it down.
Wow.
But after the park was fully closed, they just let us explore. And they had, you know, certain cast members were at certain rides, continuing to keep rides going.
Oh, so that's nice.
I got to ride Space Mountain with the lights on.
We keep hearing
about
this.
That was really cool. It was right around the time that one of the Iron Man movies came out. So they had the big Iron Man thing going on in Intervention. So we got to explore that and kind of touch some of the stuff that guests can't touch.
Oh, yeah.
Road Splash Mountain like 4 or 5 times in a row at 3 in the morning.
It is weird to ride Splash. Like, for me, I think it's very strange to ride Splash Mountain at night.
It's awesome at night because
it is cool, but it's just such a different experience.
Yeah, it is. You worry about getting cold at the end.
That was definitely a problem, but my car had a good heater, so I guess I was okay with it. And I rode in my costume too. So once I was done, I put my costume back and I put on my regular people clothes, and then I went home. So,
well, I wasn't that wet. The other thing too is I forget how much of that attraction is outside. So like you're riding around in the dark for quite a, you know, for
yeah, but it's lit up. Like one of my favorite things about Splash Mountain at night is when you go up the final drop. And you're kind of at that crest there, and you can look out, and everything's like, you can see the castle and space. It's beautiful.
But I mean, like, the outdoor portion of Splash isn't super lit up, so it's just different.
Yeah. I mean, the areas where there's characters, like, mm-hmm. where there's little houses are lit up, but yeah, I think, like, what do they call it? The Briar Patch and stuff isn't very lit up, but I don't know. I love Disney at night. If I had to pick, I would only go to Disneyland at night.
Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately, like summer when they have the longer hours, you have the least amount of nighttime, which is unfortunate.
Right. But when it was like 3 a.m. that night, most of the lights were shut off.
Oh.
They only had like a few lights for the janitors to continue going.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the whole park wasn't lit up. It looked like a ghost town.
Oh, that would be.
Which I actually thought was really cool.
Yeah. What
it was very, very strange, but it was really, really cool.
See, I would love if they could offer a tour or something or an experience where you could pay, and I would pay to be able to either wander around the park at night, like after closing, or just like a maintenance person for the night or something and just like shadow them. That would be so amazing. Even if it was just like hosing down the streets, like it'd be just so, don't you think it'd be kind of cool to be there? But you know what I'm saying? Like it'd be cool to be set up with someone to be able to go around the park.
To like buddy up with someone and chat on.
And see just what a night at Disneyland after the guests go home is like. Like, I wish they would do a show, like an episode of one of these things on Disney Plus where it would just follow like the third shifters at both parks. That'd
knows?
Be so cool.
Maybe one day at Disney we'll do a nighttime worker.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Here's a weird question for you, Ethan. Where the restaurant is located, where the Tomorrowland Terrace is located. You kind of said as a cast member working there, you either had to go through the tunnel or you had to kind of walk across Tomorrowland to get there. Do you know how they got food delivered there?
It was through the tunnel. And I never explored the tunnel much past the restaurant, just because by the time I had the inkling to do it, I had already been caught doing exploring backstage.
Sure,
So I never explored that much, but like, you know when you're at the airport and they have the trolleys with all the luggage on it?
Yeah, yeah.
There were, like, those that brought in the food through the tunnel.
Gotcha.
There were big, like, like elevators.
Yeah, because
that's what they do for the like the merchandise,
too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how far do you know roughly, since you didn't ever go down there yourself, how far past the restaurant did the tunnel go?
I think it probably went all the way down under probably where Star Tours was. Back to the, because if you continued down that path past mm-hmm. Star Tours, you would come up to the big open area behind the actual backstage fire station, not the Main Street fire station, but where the fire station actually is. Which was right behind Main Street mm-hmm. on the, if you're in the park on the right side of Main Street.
Yeah.
And there was a big open area there. So that's where they would truck things in and then they would go through the tunnel. But then also they kind of restocked everything in the middle of the night when the park was closed. Mm-hmm. So obviously you could just trolley things through the park and no guests were there. So
yep.
No one saw.
Interesting.
That's crazy. That's that area behind Space Mountain is like one of the biggest backstage areas that's kind of surrounded by guest mm-hmm. guest space, I guess. The other one that's a little strange, which we learned about in Cleaning the Kingdom, is that little area. It's very much smaller. It's that little area between Adventureland and Frontierland. There's like the trash compactor and stuff in that back area that nobody, like I wouldn't have even known was even there, because it seems like that's all buildings, but it's just, you know, the facade or whatever. And that section of Main Street, they've gobbled up some of that cast member space, because they've got that whole extra walkway built back there now, walkway. The overflow.
Yeah, and that used to be a backstage area.
Yeah.
And so when that became a guest area, that kind of took away some of our space.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's too much, but you, when you only have so much space as Disneyland is anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I did get to experience one time, because one of our managers told us, hey, this is something you should do after the park closes, is we actually walked the Grand Circle Tour.
That's cool.
That is a long walk.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long did that take?
Over an hour. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But also, you know, everything was shut down and they didn't let us walk through the tunnel where the dioramas are.
Everything
was shut down.
That would have probably been a little creepy walking through that tunnel at night.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have. And that was actually, when I was a kid, the dinosaurs in there scared me.
They still creep me out a little bit too.
I was a little scared to walk through it, just because I was 18. Like I knew they weren't real, but you know, just seeing their shadows would have been a little creepy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we got to walk pretty much a whole Grand Circle Tour.
Dang.
That would be really neat. Like that's an experience.
Oh, like you get to peer into Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yes. It was Splash Mountain. They had the lights on, the music was still going, but none of the animatronics were gone. So that was kind of creepy as well, because they were all just kind of sitting there still,
but the
music was still going.
I guess at least the animatronics were, or you know, the lights were on, because it may have been a little more interesting without the lights on too. I was also thinking about some of the stuff along the river, how they have some of like the Indian Chief and those animatronics. I think those may have been a little creepy to walk past.
Well, that whole area is like dark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I also got to ride the Jungle Cruise with only cast members.
Oh,
and that must have been an experience.
That was a lot of fun, because all the cast members, you know, most cast members that work at Disneyland are huge Disney nuts like I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when the skipper was doing his jokes, everyone knew what the jokes were. And so we all kind of like started saying the jokes at the same time as the skipper.
Too and fun.
Probably throwing a little more enthusiasm than a regular guest does.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to think, like, as a skipper, like, is that something that you would be excited about, that people, like, that they're being enthusiastic, or is it kind of like, oh, God, here's all the, I mean, I guess they're all buddies and stuff, so it's kind of like hanging out with your friends, so I guess it's not too bad.
I bet it was fun.
Jeez. I would, there's so many experiences I hear that cast members get to do, and I mean, there's less of them now because of, you know, regulations and
rules.
Lawyers. Mm-hmm. but some of these things would still be so cool to do. And honestly, like you said, I would work in food service just because then you're there after hours. So you get that little bit of glimpse that I keep wanting to get. Your thing is you want to get in show exited. My thing is I want to walk the park after everybody's gone. There was one night that we hung out in the hub until security started like moving in, which
sure.
they kind of form this line and kind of mm-hmm. make everybody leave. But that was really cool because there was like nobody past them. So it was yeah. like empty. So that was kind of neat. But it's only Main Street. I want to like wander the whole park.
The park has a different kind of magic when there's no one else there.
I believe it.
Well, if you think about it, it's very rare. It was less rare back in the day. So like when I was first going, because mm-hmm. the park didn't like not as many people were in the park at a time. And before the Princess Fantasy Fair was there, that was a nice quiet area of yeah, the park. You could yeah. go over and not really see anybody, especially in the evening. You know, for some place that you're used to having a bunch of people around, it's just be right. so cool to have it kind of to yourself mm-hmm. and have that moment with a favorite place of yours, I guess.
Exactly. Oh, one thing I forgot that I never actually got to participate in, but I did watch.
Oh, what's
have
that?
Have you ever heard of the canoe races?
Yes. Yes, I was actually thinking about that. I'm like, oh, I don't know if your time at the park would have been coinciding with when those were happening. But tell us about the canoe races.
So I never actually got to participate because sure. by the time I got hired, from what I remember, by the time I got hired, they weren't accepting anyone else into the team.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I got to watch, which was... How? I had heard about it before I even got hired, and it was something that I really wanted to do because. Mm-hmm. You know, I was pretty physically fit, and so I thought, why not try and do the canoe races, but I never actually got to participate, but I did watch. And those cast members, they try really hard to be the fastest.
I can't even imagine. Like, what an experience. Like, because, right, you have to get up at the, I don't know, probably earlier than the crack of dawn to be able to participate. And I'm sure to also be someone, you know, just on the sidelines cheering it on. But, you know, it's one of those things because they go around the whole loop of the rivers of America, correct?
Yes.
That's a long way.
You know, I'll be honest with you.
That is a long way.
I don't think you didn't go with us, did you?
No, Laura and I went and did something else when you guys did yeah. the canoes.
So it was me and Katzper and Vern, right?
We probably rode Haunted Mansion and Pirates, let's yeah. be honest.
And honestly, you get, just as a guest, you can get around the river pretty dang, really? I was surprised that I'm like, oh, we're already almost back. Like, it seemed like it should be longer. But I'll tell you, canoe race wise, I think it would be great because everybody's trying to go well. Right. We had some people in our canoe that were not paddling or they were splashing water at yeah. us. And
I don't know if guests realize that the canoes are, you need to make them go. They don't go by themselves.
Well, that's what one of the cast members said. He's like, if you don't push, we don't go.
I'm sure that's a common misconception. There's no motor here.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that I don't really ride the canoes much as New York, because there's so many guests that get on it that think yeah. they're just going to sit there.
Right,
they think
right.
the cast member does all the rowing and they're just going to sit there and have a nice little ride.
Mm-hmm. This is not the storybook land canal boats.
Right. You actually have to put in some effort here.
Yeah. So what was it like to experience watching the races?
Brief glimpses of really fast canoes and then quite a long time of nothing.
Yeah, I suppose, because you're probably watching like from like New Orleans Square, like the phantasmic viewing area, correct?
Right. And a lot of the times we would start over where the canoes start at Hungry Bear. And when the canoes started going, we would run along the path.
Yeah,
cheering
yeah.
them on, but then you only get so far before you can't see them anymore.
Still, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So do you remember who won that year?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember that. All the teams were really, really awesome Disney names, but I don't remember the names of any of the teams.
Sure. They're always really clever.
Yes, oh, yeah. they're... And really they make clever. Their own logos, and they have shirts, and they get really, really into it. And that was why I really wanted to do it. I wanted yeah. to get into it. But sadly, I didn't get to.
Dang. That would be a cool experience to do that. Even if... So I'm on the Disney Parks blog back in August of last year, posted an article of about the canoe race tradition. So who won then? Let's see. They probably have a name. Oh, sprints winners, you're welcome. were cast members who worked on the rerouting of the river from 2 years ago preparing for Galaxy Edge. That's cool. The Ore Lords, winner of the team timed finals in the Endor division. They got all types of crazy stuff.
Too much fun.
Yeah, I would love to see one of these things, but man, you got to wake up early because they do it.
It's before park open.
Yeah.
Oof. Well, and my internal clock, because my dad was in the Navy as well, my internal clock has always kind of been on military time.
Oh, sure.
And so if someone tells me you have to wake up at 3 a.m, I can wake up at 3 a.m. And it's not really that much of an issue. So when they said, you can watch the race, but this is the time it starts, no problem. I'll be there.
Yeah, that's fine. I will be there.
I'm the same way, though. Like, if it's something that I'm excited for, like a canoe race, like, I could be there for that. Mm-hmm. So what, like, at night, what time would you generally get out of working at the restaurant? Was that, like, a late, like, were you there depending on the park close time? Because I tell Teresa all the time when I was younger, and it hasn't been this way for quite a while, but the park used to be open till 1, and then you'd get the hour of shopping convenience on Main Street.
The days the park closed at 1, thankfully, we were in Tomorrowland, so we didn't really have to deal with the Main Street closing
extra hour.
People.
Yeah.
Right. If the park closed at 1, we would normally be out of the restaurant by 2:30. Sometimes, if it wasn't that busy of a day, because if it wasn't that busy of the day, we wouldn't have all three of the kitchens open. We would only have one or two.
Sure.
So I think the fastest we ever closed was like half an hour.
If you had maybe two kitchens or two areas open, you could probably close one down and leave the other open, because I don't imagine at 12:30 at night many people are buying burgers.
I don't know, who knows.
You would be very surprised. there were often times where we would be closing down the park, like the announcement had already gone off that the park is closed. There were so many times we got a mad rush to the restaurant for a whole bunch of people wanting to get their food before they left the park.
Wow.
Which always kind of confused me, because right outside the park, you know, there's McDonald's, there's the Denny's.
Right.
There's so many other places to get other food, which admittedly Disney food is kind of a little more expensive than food outside the park.
Yeah, especially when you're just doing like a quick service burger.
It always confused me why people would go to the quick service restaurant to try and get that last burger and fries at 1 a.m. when you can just go outside and, you know, maybe go to McDonald's or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and get it for cheaper.
I could understand for its things, you know, more specific to Disneyland, like maybe Bengal barbecue or like going and getting a Dole Whip or a Bao Bun. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't rush over to get one last burger from Disneyland.
But I also feel like the places like we experienced this, like Bengal barbecue closed like early.
That's true.
So they didn't stay open until park closed, which I feel like a lot of the food places don't stay open until park closed. I feel like a lot of the food places close an hour or half an hour before the park closes. But that's crazy. And they probably started doing that because of the people who'd make a mad rush at the last minute, and they're trying to get people out of there on time.
The longest night we ever had was, there was one, I think it was probably during a leap year, or there was some event where Disneyland was open for a full 24 hours.
That would do it.
And I was scheduled for like an 8-hour shift that day. And then someone didn't show up and they said, hey, do you want to make 4 hours of overtime? And I said, sure. And then at the end of that, they were like, more people are not showing up. Can you do another 4 hours? And so I was there for 16 hours.
Oh my gosh.
But after 2 hours of, so the first 2 hours of overtime is like 1.5 times. And then after that, it's double pay. And so I got more than I would make in like normally a week. I got more than that in debt.
Wow.
Well, it sounds like you earned it if you have 16 hours, man.
And it amazed me because the rush never stopped. Like 3 a.m, we still lines going out.
People wanting their burgers and fries. Wow.
It was incredible.
Well, you know, I feel like people eat when they start to get tired because, like, it's something for them to do and maybe, it keeps them awake. Yeah. And they, you know, they probably were buying some coffee and stuff from there too, like you would be doing, trying to get
I would be buying coffee, not eating burgers and fries to wake myself up.
Yeah, but if you're, what is the schedule for someone? Like, when do you, most people have breakfast, lunch, dinner. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not going to not eat from dinner to breakfast. So you got to eat in there sometime, especially if you're running around burning calories for Disney, you know.
Very true.
That would have been cool, though. I like I said about staying in the park at night and stuff like that, I would really like to have a 24-hour night so I can basically sleep during the day a little bit and then go in at night when it's going to be the best. So, all right. Well, we got a final question for you here. And that is, if you could work at Disneyland, in this case, again, what would you do? This could be any type of position. So this could be something that's real or something that you made up. Sky's the limit.
So I actually thought about this question a lot because you ask all your guests. And I had like four answers, but I think I boiled it down to one. So every cast member is allowed to make magic for guests. You know, a certain amount, or, you know, if a kid drops his ice cream, you can go get him another ice cream or something like that. This is a completely made up position. I would like to do that full time.
So you want to be a magic maker?
Yes. Show up to the park in the morning. Basically, people watch all day. And if anyone's day is not as magical as it could be, try and make magic for them that way.
Because
there's only so much that cast members see. And if you could just do that all day long, I feel like that would be able to, you know, it would be able to change someone's vacation or, you know, maybe just change their day in the park.
I think that sounds fantastic.
That would be awesome.
I don't know what the costuming for that would be, but
I think it'd be like a plaid, probably.
Yeah, maybe like a plaid.
Or maybe you'd be undercover.
Oh, so
like one of the undercover guests.
That makes sense. You'd have to be undercover, otherwise people may flock to you and try and get magic made for them.
Who was telling us about that? That they had somebody. It was one of our people came on because they said that they got picked to like go.
That was when the Year of a Million Dreams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like that would be cool. Just suddenly out of nowhere, it's like
poof.
Guess what? Your day is about to be made.
Yes.
That would be a cool job.
You drink from this drinking fountain at 2:00. So we're gonna.
Give
you a fast pass to every ride in the park. Or, you know.
Yeah.
That may be a little outlandish, but something like that.
Yeah. So out of curiosity, do you remember what your other three answers were? Because you said you had like four, so I'm just curious.
So I'm fairly musical as well. I've played guitar since I was like 13 years old, so I always thought it'd be really cool to be in the pirate band in New Orleans.
Oh, that's cool.
I thought that would be a lot of fun. One of the other answers was being a plaid.
That's great.
When I went on deployment, I actually left pretty unprepared with only one movie on my phone.
Oh.
And it was the Disneyland documentary, Disneyland Secrets, Stories, and Magic.
You know, I think if you're going to have one movie, that was maybe an all right one.
And I probably watched it 30 times.
Yeah.
And along with, you know, other Disney documentaries, like I love the Imagineering story. I've probably seen the whole thing 2 or 3 times now. And so I feel like I know a lot about the park.
Sure.
And so I feel like I would love to be a plaid just to be able to walk guests around and tell them the history of the park and, you know, maybe occasionally meet a celebrity or something.
Yeah.
Which I saw a few celebrities when I was in the park, but I never actually got to meet any of them. I saw Adam Sandler.
Fun.
I think I saw Steve Aoki one time. He's a dubstep artist.
Mm. Oh.
So I've seen a few celebrities there. And then obviously during the candlelight, there were a lot of celebrities there. So I got to see a few of them. Never actually got to interact with any of them. But being a plaid would be really cool. And then the other one was a ride operator at Pirates of the Caribbean.
Because
that was originally what I wanted to get hired on as.
Sure.
For either Pirates or Indy. Mm-hmm. So you know, those are my four answers.
I know that the costuming of pirates is supposed to be kind of like a throwback, but I kind of wish they would do different costumes for pirates.
How would you change the costumes for
pirates? Make it more like authentic piratey and not like colorful piratey.
Oh, okay.
Like so, Pirates of the Caribbean pirating.
Yeah, got like it. Like that like would look movies. Like they are pirates, like are, you know, I don't mm-hmm. know. But that, well, because like the Haunted Mansion costumes are awesome looking and they like fit in with the theme and everything. And the Pirates ones do too, but they seem more very Disney-fied, right? Like they're colorful and not intimidating really.
They have like the knee-high striped socks with maybe not super authentic pirate-y.
Yeah. You know, but Tomorrowland has some pretty good... I mean, that's what we need. We need... If there's anybody listening to this who has worked in costuming for Disney, we would love to talk to you. Because I feel like there are reasons for everything that they do.
I'm sure there is.
Well, Ethan, thank you for spending some time with us tonight and sharing your information and your experience of being a cast member in the Tomorrowland Terrace. Like I said, very happy, fond childhood memories of eating there. So it was very interesting.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And I listen to the show every week. I listen to the live streams. And so it was a lot of fun to actually be on the podcast.
So it was fun to like be able to
interact.
I don't want to say that. Not just, you know, have us respond when you say something to us.
All right. Well, have a good night, Ethan.
You too.
Now it's time to return to Trivia Land, where producer James is going to give us the answers to this week's trivia.
All right, four questions from me this week. Let's go through them. Question number
one. These are from you.
All from me.
Oh, see, see, listeners, you're too hard on us.
You know, it's the season of giving.
There you go.
Some confidence was going to be good for you, because who knows what next week will bring.
You know, if you guys wanted to give a huge Christmas gift to our team here in Trivia Land, please, please, please send in trivia@dlweekly.net. They would love to have a huge influx of trivia that they can replenish their piles.
So our first question this week, Walt created the idea for Disneyland while sitting on a bench. Where was it at the time and where is it now? At the time, it was indeed at Griffith Park outside the carousel while his daughters were riding it. Yeah. And he was bitterly wanting to ride as well.
He could have. Couldn't he have? Was there a rule against?
I don't think like it was allowed. That's why he wanted to create
Well, that's
Disneyland.
Just annoying.
Mm-hmm. That's why he wanted to create Disneyland, so parents and children could play together.
But thank you.
Yes.
Because if he would have been allowed to ride, maybe we wouldn't have Disneyland. Mm-hmm.
And now we do believe it is inside the Opera House, actually next to a carousel horse. So,
oh, yes, yeah.
But I wouldn't doubt that there might be another one at the Family Museum, and then there's that doubt of which one is real.
Think of it. I'm sure there wasn't just one bench by the carousel. That's... So we know he was sitting at a bench around the carousel. So they just grabbed all of them and said,
I can't imagine
one of these benches.
I can't imagine that Walt walked out there and was like, yes, this one right here.
Yeah. I'd say, you know, they probably had to move it when it snowed. But then I remember he lives in California. Yeah. And
what is this snow you speak of?
Exactly. So anyway, second question. How old was Walt when the park first opened and you indeed fell from my trap? Walt was born December 1901. The park opened July 1955. He was only 53 at the time. He was on his way to 54. So very close. Good job in the chat for keeping up with birthdays and opening days.
She said 50.
Ah, well.
So
at least had the right technicalities, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, third question. How tall is the large drop on Splash Mountain? You two apparently think it is gigantic.
It should be.
It feels that way.
It feels that way when we're screaming in terror.
Yeah, because you doubled it. More than doubled the intake's case. 52 feet is what we are going for.
Dang.
Now that's, in her credit, Stephanie in our live stream chat said 52 feet, and as soon as I saw it, after we gave our guesses, I was like, yep, that's totally it.
I got to figure out. There 106 is in my head for some reason. There's some Disney fact that is 106. I got to figure out what it is.
Some Disney fact.
It's in the vault in my brain somewhere, so I got to figure out.
Don't even know how you would look that up. Like, just keep looking at facts until 106
Google.
Shows up.
It's amazing. You never know.
Oh my goodness.
Here you are, Disney Trivia 106.
All right, our final question. Sleeping Beauty's drawbridge has only been raised twice at the park. When is it? Indeed, you are correct. 1955 for the grand opening, and then in 1983 for the rededication of Fantasyland. And I believe it's actually the only functioning drawbridge at a Disney park. So.
I think so, too.
So,
well,
unique experience.
I wonder if the Hong Kong one is functional, because it was modeled off of Sleeping Beauty Castle.
Oh,
so
that's a good point. I don't know.
The best of my research, which led me to 2017, said it's the only functioning one. And I think Hong Kong's been open longer than that at this point.
Yeah, it just had its 15-year anniversary.
Do you feel good about this week? I think the hosts feel pretty good about how they did this week.
Yes.
Maybe you want to spread some cheer for them and give them some nice questions that they might be able to answer. Or maybe you want to put some coal in their stockings and give them some hard trivia. Who knows? Send it my way. Or producer Vern's way as well. Our email is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, have courage, be kind, and spread some Disney magic.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.